So my friend likes shoving hot dogs in his mouth. Dan, did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. That's an interesting pastime.
You like hot dogs, right?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes.
You ever use hot dog grease in your hair just to like fix split ends?
No?
Do you get it? Do you get it?
I don't get it.
Do you get it? Do you see? Hey guys, welcome to the Indie Film Review. That's right, I'm a singer. Dan is laughing uncontrollably.
Just the delivery over. Did you get it?
Did you get it?
Do you see?
That'll make more sense, like everything we do later on in the
Oh
show.
my
So
God.
today, Dan. Dan is with me, by the way.
I
I don't know if you
am
saw that.
always with you.
Yeah.
I walk with you.
Dan
I
is like
take
my
the
JoJo's
wheel.
Bizarre. Yeah, Dan is basically he's my religious figure that stands behind me and carries me through the desert. Dan is like my Pokemons. That's how I like to think of you. Like
Really?
when I need you, I throw you out on the ground and you just kind of
That's
flop out and.
no lie. That's exciting. I like this new relationship that we're
You do your
striking up.
attacks, and then I'm like, okay, cool. Now get back in the ball, because you're freaking everybody out. All right. So this is a independent film reviewing show. This is what we do. This is a podcast. I know if you're confused. So you can't see us. You can pretend to see us. So like picture in your mind's eye what we could look like. I'm like more of a George Clooney type. Dan
You
is like
know,
a
you're
Danny
not
DeVito.
wrong. I see George Clooney's eyebrows in you,
That's right. That's right.
and I definitely have a stout figure
That's right. That's
and
right.
a skullet like Danny DeVito.
A skullet? What? Explain.
You know, like the Ben Franklin haircut where it's long but you're bald on top? A
Ah,
skullet,
yes. A
yes.
gentleman's skullet. It's very presidential. I like that. So we're going to review some short films today. Very exciting. We have a lot of submissions here. So I'm gonna just read them off, and then in what order we're gonna tackle them. So we have Sarah Stevenson submitted to us. This will be the first one we do. Mia Morris's Diary, and we'll talk about that the whole season. And then we have Zephyr Entertainment kept tagging us in a bunch of different things. And I'm like, hey, we should just do an episode on them because they got some stuff that's interesting. And I wanted to check them out. So they have a little short called The Sanctuary. There's a trailer for an upcoming movie that they're going to do that we'll probably cover as well in future. And then Mr. Shan, a little mini
Another
series that
web
they did.
series, yes.
Yeah. So these aren't some of these aren't really movies, like Mr. Shan and Mia Morris. They're not really films. I mean, if you watch them all together, kind of. They're maybe like 30, 40 minutes if you want to see them. They're more like little mini series. So we're kind of bending the rules. I don't know. It's all in film. It's they're
It's
filming.
all
What do you think?
independent.
It's all in the wrists. So I figured, why not? Let's do it. So the first one we're going to cover is Mia Morris's Diary. Dan, if could you explain to us what this is,
Sure.
the gist of it.
Mia Morris
Yes.
has a video diary
Good so far.
that she
That's good.
allegedly sends to this boyfriend named Jim. And as she sends these video diaries out to him, we learn that vampires are afoot.
Well, a lot more than vampires. It's like werewolves. They had a witch coven at one point. There's a lot of fucking shit going on.
Yeah, but like from the very get-go where the one girl's like, his name is Drake Alucard. I'm like, oh my God, Castlevania vibes.
So, this is not trying to hide what it's doing, I guess.
No.
You could say. So not at all. There's characters named Drake Alucard. They do references to...
Oh, by the way, if you're dumb, that's Dracula spelled backwards.
It's Dracula spelled backwards! Yeah, it's a lot of references to Bram Stoker, a lot of references to Dracula. A lot of the characters are named after different...
One would say it's a love letter
Dracula. Yeah, yeah. So I didn't realize this, but apparently it's supposed to be, I didn't figure this out to the end. It's like a modern retelling of Bram Stoker's Dracula with, the twist of it being like a web series. So it's like, oh, now, okay. I wish I knew that earlier when I was
Yeah,
like,
that
first
would definitely
watching it.
Help. Cause I haven't finished the whole thing yet. I'm actually going to finish it. But what really kind of got me into it was it's told, I mean, it's a retelling of Dracula, but she's also using the format of Frankenstein, because Frankenstein is told through letters, that book. It's like, it's just correspondence from...
So I didn't even pick up on that. Okay.
Yeah, so like you get this whole story that unfolds through this correspondence between two people. Mm. And I like that aspect of it too.
So I watched all of it. I even watched the behind the scenes stuff. I fucking watched everything. I watched, the unaired pilot. I watched the final words credits. I combed through all this stuff. I literally watched it all at once last night. The like idea of doing the video vlog where it's talking at you, the viewer, I think is really cool.
Yeah.
And the reason I think it's cool is like the more I was watching it, the more it felt like she was just talking to me, like at me, and I was Jim. I almost wish there wasn't a Jim.
Are
you know
Jim?
What I mean? Like, I could be Jim. Am I Jim? I wake up every day and I ask, am I Jim?
Earthworm Jim?
Earthworm Jim. Oh, dude. Surprise came in by Earthworm Jim would be legit. But, wouldn't it be cool if Jim didn't exist?
Yeah, I can see that happening for sure.
So, like, she's doing this diary to someone who's not even real. I mean, I think that would have been really cool.
The one girl from eighth grade, how she's like, hi guys, welcome back to my channel, like that.
Mm-hmm. So I did think it got a little weird towards the end where she's still doing the videos, but yet she's falling in love with the vampire guy, and then she sent those videos to her boyfriend. I'm like, that's kind of messed up. Like, why are you emotionally cheating on your boyfriend and then sending him videos.
It's the vampire's thrall, man. That's what it is.
So we're going to spoil this now. If you want to see it, it's done by Black Cat Film Productions, and the whole miniseries is on there. Just a warning, because we're going to get into some stuff. So the ending, they do actually have Jim show up, and this is probably one of the coolest things about it. Is he thinks the whole thing
spoilers.
Was...
Spoilers?
I just said it was spoilers,
kidding.
You jerk.
I'm just kidding.
That's funny. He thinks it was all fake. Which
As
I
he
thought
should.
Was a nice,
because
nice
it
little...
was a web series and not real life.
Yes, but in the the staging of the characters who think this is real, he was like, oh, that was really cool. Like, all these cool videos. He's like, you're really good at making films and stuff. And the Mia character's like, it wasn't really fake, but okay. And then like, that's how she kind of tricks him. So it's kind of messed up that he's tricked by all of this.
See, that sounds like a pretty good twist.
It was, and it was actually pretty good. So it was fun, but at the same time, I'm kind of like, I think it would be cool if like, maybe we were just Jim the whole time and we never had a physical Jim. So like, it really is her talking to you. Because that's what the whole series is. So how the show is set up is it's the web camera. And everyone's speaking towards the webcam, right? So she'll be in her room. And then people will come in and they'll espouse some dialogue or whatever. And kind of catch you up on what's going on. So you're not seeing a lot of the action.
Right.
And I think that was more of like a budgetary thing. Of like they don't.
Well,
have
it most certainly is
film.
The budgetary thing, but like they made it work, like I said, through the correspondence. It was modeled after Frankenstein for sure.
Yes. There are certain action scenes whenever they actually go out and do filming outside or they have props and stuff. I was super excited. Like, this is cool. Like, there's a part where even like simple things where two characters are talking on their phone to another character, I was like, oh, you should just do this a lot more. Like, because one of the issues I have with this is it gets monotonous on how many times we have to see her bedroom over and over again. You know,
yeah,
I mean?
Like, that's my biggest complaint too. It's like, it doesn't go too far outside of what the budget constraints actually are.
Yes. I know it's expensive to hire actors, and I'm sure they had to be compensated in some way, or like free food, and this seemed like all like film students, and they all like they're doing it for the love of it, but also it's a production. Like, you have to, this shit costs money. I understand that. But you could film in the woods, you know, like woods mm-hmm. is a good scene.
Woods are the best. I've told you multiple times, Jared, that if you set your film in the woods, it automatically gets an A+.
It always gets better. Yes. Filming in the woods, it's always going to look cool. It's super cheap. As long as you don't do the entire film in the woods. Well, you could if you're certain filmmakers that we know, and kill it if it's in the woods. But you could do it where she's walking down the street and she's talking to Jim on the phone. You know, I just want to see different location shots, because you can do different things. If the actors are doing, I wouldn't say, it's not busy work, it's scene work. You know what I mean? There's not mm-hmm. enough scene work.
Well, so, and like, her, you bring up a good point, because that was half of the fun, I think, whenever you and I were in college and making our own short films. Like, with going to the locales mm-hmm. and trying to make the scene work the way we needed it to.
Yes.
And half the time, it wouldn't work. This is the way it should have.
Well, because the wind. Wind is a big factor when you're trying to shoot not in a closed space. If you're trying to shoot on location, you have to know there's going to be wind. It's going to mess it up. So I understand it's difficult, because then you need like a boom mic, or you need wind protectors, windscreens, stuff like that. It gets tough. But if you can do it, it's really cool. Or figure out other places to film, like a warehouse, or like somewhere else inside that you could do. Yeah, warehouses are always fun. We have a running joke where a warehouse bites someone and then they become a warehouse. So like, that's the joke, is it's a werewolf warehouse thing. We're really stupid. Anyways. And we do it
all
the time.
It's one of the best jokes we've ever come up with. I don't know what you're talking about.
A movie that should be made. Someone please make it.
Please make it, yes. I'll watch it. I'll be executive producer. You can have all 5 cents that I found under my couch.
So, more things I liked. I thought the makeup was good. I thought the lighting was really good in this. There wasn't any time where I couldn't see anything, or things looked muddled or whatever. So I like a lot of the camera work was good, except for some of the jump cutting got a little jarring.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
and I have a fix for that.
Okay. Please tell me.
So this does something where it's putting their actors maybe in a 7-8 minute scene and never cutting. Like, it's having them just memorize all these lines, and I just feel like it's too much. So some of the episodes where it's like a minute and a half or 2 minutes, they work way better, because the actors only have to memorize so much. And since you're never cutting to different angles, it's always just that one angle, right? It puts more pressure on your actors, because now they have to say all their lines perfectly. Well, and if you have time constraints, you can't do more retakes and stuff. It's better if you keep the scene shorter.
Here's a question.
Okay.
As Mia goes through, because I haven't seen the whole thing yet. Does she become, like, how is she enthralled? Like,
okay, so I'll do a little more of a rundown of the story.
Okay. Because I may have a fix too. It just, I need to know how
she becomes enthralled. Okay.
Yeah.
So the first episode, like you've seen, it's a big one. She goes to like a party where the Drake Alucard character is going to be there, and her best friend wants to go, because she's been asked to go there like by a date, and she goes there. She loses track of her, and she gets abducted by the vampire and gets attacked. So the vampire's whole goal, just like in Bram Stoker, is to trick all of her friends and people that she knows, like, to push them away from her, so that she can so that the Dracula guy can like signal her out,
yeah,
and enthrall her. But she's like making other characters fall in love with him. It kind of gets Twilight-y too a little bit. And then eventually he makes her teacher give her a failing grade, or like, you're going to fail unless you get a tutor. And then the Alucard character is of course a tutor.
Right.
So he shows up and like starts tutoring her. And it's like a silly scene where he's like, do you want to get pizza? And I'm like, that's kind of a silly thing to like, are you hitting on her? What's going on? But he basically like charms her pants off.
Yeah.
And then once he reveals he's a vampire, he's like, well, I can give you immortality. And she just actually starts to fall for it. But like I said, the silly thing is that she's doing this all on camera, and then she's sending the tapes to Jim. I'm like, don't send the tapes to Jim of you falling in love with a vampire. But so do you want me to tell you the ending?
Well, what do you think the tone of this is? Is it
so
like,
yes,
horror?
Creator's intent. I don't know if this is supposed to be scary. So for me, it wasn't scary.
Right.
How did you feel? So it wasn't scary?
No,
to you,
not,
right?
Not at okay. all. But like what my fix would be is we could easily make it scary.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, give me some ideas.
So instead of just having the one static shot, have the static shot, but then like have a camera behind the camera so we can see more of the room and we can see her actually talking to the camera. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So
like
cut between that and the static shot, that and the static shot, kind of like a shot reverse shot, but we can see more of the process, the filmmaking process.
So yeah, I would say like make some of those reveals less obvious, because I knew everything that was going on beforehand.
Music,
I don't know
too.
If that's intentional or not. What's that? Music?
More music, more creepy.
Yes,
music.
Yes, more score, more music. Have more mystery to whatever the villain or creature is. So fear the unknown, everyone knows. Yeah, so like if you don't know what's coming, it's more scary, especially like revealing what the monster looks like, what's going on, that kind of stuff freaks me out. Like, so like say I was talking about the scene of her like walking in the park, you could have like somebody in the background like behind a tree like watching her or something creepy,
yeah,
and like you can barely see their face, like stuff like that. I don't know, there's a lot of things you could do. There, okay, I have to mention this. So
yes,
there's
please.
One character, the doctor character.
The doctor's son?
Yes, the doctor's son was unintentionally making me laugh. His lines, I don't know what it was, but it was hilarious to me. And it actually helped my enjoyment of the film. And
really?
I don't think it was intentional. But I also feel like once you put a work of art out there, it becomes everybody's. So this is what I got from it. It made it more enjoyable because of how weird his line delivery was. And some of the things he did just didn't make any sense to me. I don't know. It just felt unnatural. So he comes in with a super, super tight shirt, which also like already threw me off. I'm like, what's going on? Why does he have this super tight Playboy shirt on? And then so they're talking about they want to hypnotize Mia's friend to try to get her to remember what happened to her when she was attacked by the vampire.
Right.
But the dilemma is they're saying that it might turn her into a vegetable.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't understand that at all. I'm like, that's...
Well, whenever one's
sense.
Mind goes into the recesses of one's mind to find the secrets that you don't remember...
It could be traumatic, but it's not going to like put you in a vegetative state.
What's the hardest part about eating vegetables?
Dan, what is the hardest part about eating vegetables?
The wheelchairs.
I don't understand. I don't get that joke.
Vegetables, you can't, like, you're in a vegetative state, you know?
Oh, boy. I wish I didn't get that joke. I'm just kidding. So anyways, yeah, it was good.
Do you get it?
Do you see? Do you see? So, okay, Dan, final thoughts. We're running a little long on this.
Okay.
Any more positives or negatives you want to talk about with Mia?
No, I think we covered everything that I had notes on, which was just the static. It just got perfunctory, I think. Just like you said, monotonous, just... The other thing too, I don't necessarily feel like it needed to be 23 episodes long, or however long it is. You know what I mean? Maybe shorten the episodes.
Some of the episodes, nothing happens. Other episodes are way more interesting, for sure. Yeah. I kind of know what you mean. You're kind of like, I don't know why this is here. And I don't know. It felt like a little padding. I kind of get what you mean. So hopefully you take all that as healthy criticism. We're just trying to help.
Well, we want people to go watch your shit too.
Yes,
excuse me. We want people to go watch your film.
Yes, we want you to keep doing this.
Yes, please.
It's clear that you guys are having a lot of fun when you're making it, and you're passionate about it, and that gets me excited. So, I want you guys to keep making more stuff. It does look like they're going to make a new thing called Attack of the Cat People, which seems really great.
So it sounds like an old 50s sci-fi movie.
It is exactly that, Dan.
Oh, that's awesome.
So they're going to do this throwback to like an old detective 1940s horror movie thing where, you know, the cat people attack. And I'm like, this sounds great. If they can get good makeup for the cat people and make it silly and fun, I'm super down to watch this.
Yeah, me too.
So I'm hoping that'll be good. So yeah, keep making movies. I think it's awesome. Now we're going
to
get into...
Speaking of being super down to watch something, let's go ahead and open Zephyr Entertainment up with Bum Promises.
Yeah, baby!
So Zephyr Entertainment gave us a trailer about this... It's called Bum Promises. It's about this guy who
knew this
girl's dad. Somehow, he's a musician. He's like, here, I have this guitar. I wanted to pay my respects.
Yeah.
And she's like, come on in. And then we can only we can only assume that he's going to be a bad bum. But it's so well put together that you just want, you're like, what? Why don't I have this movie yet?
I think that character, the bum character, is creepy. He's scary.
He is.
He's scary.
He gave me bad vibes.
Give me a bad vibe. No touchy bad vibes. And I was definitely intrigued. I want to know more about what's going on. Especially him leering and being in the bushes and being all creepy. And it does kind of seem like he's just making shit up to get into the house.
So yeah.
Okay, that's cool. The one thing I'll say that was funny to me is, so he's got a guitar, right?
Yeah.
And he puts the guitar on the porch and he's like, well, I guess that's all I wanted to say. I knew your dad and I felt bad for him that he passed or something. And then he walks away. Like he's leaving, but he left the guitar. And then the lady, she's like, oh, actually, you can come in. I'm going to invite you in. He's like, oh, well, thank you, ma'am. You know? And then he goes and grabs the guitar. It's like, did he know that he was going to get invited in? I don't know. I think that might've been an oversight. But other than that, I thought it was really well shot. I liked it. I think it's going to be cool. So I'm excited. I want to review this when it comes out.
Yeah.
I hope it's an actually like a movie. You know,
yeah.
At least like a 30, 40 minute movie or something.
It seems legit. Like it could be a whole feature for sure.
Yes. So that seems pretty neat. So let's talk about The Sanctuary.
Sanctuary. Okay. What the fuck? There's Explain. My first review. What the fuck was this movie? Like it started out. It started out like one of those run-of-the-mill, I'm captured and I have to escape a dungeon type thing.
Yes.
And it was like organ harvesting dungeon.
So, okay.
There's this girl who's trapped and she wakes up with her kidneys out, whatever. And she manages escaping. And then she has to run away from this hell house, essentially, is the plot of this movie, right?
Hell house. Yes. House.
So my big beef with this movie, it's not that I didn't like it, because there were a lot of really interesting choices in cinematography and lighting, and the acting was pretty good. I just couldn't pin down how I was supposed to be receiving this movie, because it felt like it wanted to be so many other movies at once. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like it was Mad Scientist.
Like it was, all over the place.
It was Mad Scientist. Then it was let's escape in this hostile situation because everybody else is captured. Like she sees all the other inmates who are being tortured by some unknown figure. It is like we first see the doctor who's doing experiments on her, but then we see other people who are bashing the brains in from other people. And then she leaves the convent or this little area, and then there's all of a sudden like cultists. Like, yeah. Who is the bad guy in this hell house?
Yes. It's very jarring, I would say. So she starts off with this doctor. And the doctor's like, oh, I'm helping you. Don't you want to get better and stuff? And you're kind of like, what the hell? And she's all tied up. She beats him up and then runs away, like you said. Cut to, like, we're in some, like, Resident Evil thing.
Yeah,
where
no,
there's, like,
hostile.
A dude in a black robe.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on? And then he can, like, teleport. Teleporting enemies, unless you're Michael Myers, it gets a little difficult. That got weird. And then the thing that really bothered me is when she just kind of stood there and watched the cultists cut that lady's heart out. I'm like, yes. What are you doing?
And then we cut to her just magically being away from... Or no, like, okay, no. We don't cut to her magically being away from them. We cut to her looking at them. Them looking at her like a shot reverse shot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they don't even bother to chase her. She just runs away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck?
Well, it's because they can teleport. They have teleportation power, Dan. Didn't you know this?
No.
Because at the end, she gets to the gate, and they all are at the gate. They all line up at the gate. And it's a cool shot of, like, the doors closing. I just don't think it was earned because what the fuck? You know what I mean? Like,
that's exactly what I said at the top.
That's my review of The Sanctuary.
Yes, this film didn't know what it wanted to be.
What the fuck?
Yeah. I have to agree with that.
So, like, there's some interesting things. I think it was made pretty well. I mean, I definitely enjoy Blood Bukkake.
I forgot all about the scene. Yes, I made a note about that.
Me and Dan have made films like that where blood just bukkakes all over the person's face. We love it. It's great. It's just the cohesion of everything coming together was a little confusing. So let's talk about another
Mr. Shan.
Zephyr Entertainment special. Mr. Shan. Danny, how did you feel about the Mr. Shan series?
I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, me too. This was really good. The first episode, the pilot, was probably my least favorite. After that, the show got hysterically funny.
It took a while to ramp up the speed. That's all. You can't get to 90 in just an episode. You gotta get there, man.
I love Mr. Shan. I want to see more of it. It's super weird.
It's
bizarre.
It's a very bizarre sketch show, essentially. But
bizarre.
Like, they're pissar. It's a very bizarre sketch show, essentially, because you watch the episodes not for the connections. So, like, each episode has some kind of interconnection to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it follows a logical plot, but you're not watching it for the plot. You're watching it for, like, what the fuck is Mr. Shan going to do this time? Yeah. You know what it reminded me of? Mr. Bean.
Yeah. Oh, I was about to say that.
So,
yes.
It's like a Chinese Mr. Bean, essentially.
Uh-huh. And here's the best part. Mr. Shan plays all of the characters.
Yes, he does.
So the same actor is playing every single one of the other characters. And a lot of the times, he's like become a totally different character.
Mm-hmm.
Like when he's the waiter, that's probably my favorite character is the waiter.
Yeah, the waiter's my favorite
character
too. I love
it. I was like, this is so good. The waiter is awesome. Or like when he's the girl... It's so uncomfortable seeing him go on a date with himself.
Yeah, but like what's amazing about that is like the green screen effects that he uses to get himself on frame two times.
Yeah.
It's
look good.
It's phenomenal for what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, they did an excellent job with some of the digital effects. And when they make them, it's like there's certain points where it's like intentionally bad, or I don't know if maybe it has to look bad because, like, remember when he kisses himself?
Yes, at the very end. Oh.
Yeah, it'll look so stupid, but it's hilarious. Like, it works so well. It's so funny. And I keep talking about the date episode because it's probably my favorite. That one and the hot dog one. And so he's on a date with himself. It's just like a lady with like.
Well, okay. So before we before we get into that one, we have to talk about the Boba War.
Okay. yeah, we could do that.
So Boba War was one of my favorite episodes. Basically, it's just he and his friend Wang are at a Boba Tea cafe, and Shan takes the bobas and shoots them at his friend. Yeah. And they start having this boba war.
Which I'd never even thought to do before.
Now I want to fucking do it, right?
yeah.
So the waiter has a job at this boba place, and then all hell breaks loose, and then the waiter ends up getting fired because of the boba war.
Yeah, because they literally turn it into a war film.
It's like fucking
people are getting
amazing.
Sniped in the head. Yes. It's like explosions. And then the waiter has like a Gatling gun of boba straws that spin. And I'm like, this is the only logical conclusion of this cartoon. It's like a cartoon. It's like you're watching a Looney Tunes cartoon. And I'm like, this is great. I love it. It's great.
So anyway, the waiter gets fired from that restaurant. And then he comes back in the date restaurant or the date episode as
the new
evil villain.
Yeah. And he's pouring this giant thing of laxative. It's like this huge protein powder container. He's like, it's just his laxative on it. He's like, and it was wonderful. I loved it. And to show off to his girlfriend, he starts to, now it's like, here's why Mr. Shan is great. Because who could think of doing, like taking this scene this way? If I was doing a date scene restaurant, there's no way I would ever have my character do this. But it's so good. So he starts to break the chopsticks to show like how manly he is for no reason. He takes the girl's chopsticks and breaks them, and then it's turning her on. She thinks it's really sexy. She's just like, oh yeah, oh moans, oh yes. So he's going around breaking all. He's like, oh, it's working. So he keeps he breaks all the chopsticks.
I have to say. This episode reminded me a lot about you. Just like it's like very Tim and Eric-y.
Oh yeah, it's really weird. But yeah, if you don't know already, I love this show, and they should keep doing it. And then the hot dog episode with him and his friend, where his friend is like, you know, I got married. He's like, why? He's like, because I had feelings for men. But he's like, but now I don't anymore because I'm married to a woman. And he's like. But if you have feelings for men, man, you can tell me. It's fine. He's like, no, I like girls. He's like, don't worry, man. If you like guys, it's okay. And then just them furiously eating the hot dogs. And like, they do the weird placements of different types of like hot dog sushi and like all these weird. Mm-hmm. So that was so Wes Anderson to me. It felt like this. It's just like this weird. I felt like every episode was channeling some. Either genre of film
or
director. Yeah. And at the end of every episode, he kept going, did you get it?
That's my favorite part.
I went from like, I don't understand to it doesn't matter if I do, because that's fucking hilarious.
To me, what it was just this like amazing little condescending riff at the end.
Yeah.
It's like, because sometimes there's something to get. Sometimes there's not.
You're not sure. Yeah, you're just not sure. I don't know.
And then it makes you feel like if you don't understand, you're like, well, shit, what did I miss?
Exactly. And it's so good. It's like off kilter. It puts you off balance.
Yes.
So, yeah, I really liked it. I thought it was great. I mean, I don't know if I have much more to say about it besides Separate Entertainment. Keep doing it.
Yeah, let us review Bum Promises.
And let us review Bum Promises.
And if you don't let us, we're going to do it anyway.
But yeah, Mr. Shan is awesome. I freaking love Mr. Shan. I think it's a great idea. It's like a weird sketch thing. I don't know. It's so bizarre. But yeah, it was fantastic. I loved it. Okay. I feel like that's the end of the show.
Yeah.
Guys.
Find us.
Yeah.
Where you gonna find us?
Find us where you gonna find us, baby girl. You can find us on Facebook at Indie Film Review on Facebook. We're on Twitter at Indie Film Pod if you'd like to find us.
Instagram there. At Indie Film Review Pod.
Yes. If you'd like to email us, it is Gmail at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. So that's with a the. We're on Podbean. We're still being hosted on Podbean. It's indiefilmreview.podbean.com. If you want to find this show, you can listen to us anywhere. We're on iTunes. We're all over the place. Whatever RSS feed you have, podcasting app that you have, you should be able to find us just by searching Indie Film.
And
boom.
You can listen to us anywhere. In the car.
That's
in
right.
The shower.
In a jar.
In the sack.
At the pool. In out of sack.
Out of sack. Post-coital
in the
listening
rain.
Is the best.
Down a drain. David Blaine disappeared, but not the show, because you can still listen to it when you're in the torrid zone, just flipping endlessly, because Superman's kind of a jerk and he won't let you take over the world. Thanks, buddy. Anyways. Oh, I'm sorry, Dan. I don't mean to get on my Superman rant, so I get a little heated.
Yeah?
That torrid zone is just, it's no good, you know? It's just no good. So, Dan, I just want everyone to know that I love them and I respect them and I appreciate them making films, and it makes me happy to see all these people, you know, continuing to make films, and it's super cool, and I love watching them and reviewing them, and so I really appreciate that. Dan, you have the final word.
Have you ever seen an elephant hiding in a tree? Pretty good, aren't they? Did you get it?